There's the school bell. Now you better run off the playground and run into the schoolhouse and get in your seat and reach down under your seat and pull up your Bible and lay it on your desk and give attention to your teacher, because you are now in the Warren County Radio Bible School. I am Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and I am here today to make sure you behave yourselves. But also, I want to make sure you are well acquainted with your teacher. The teacher for this radio Bible school is a preacher that has long since passed, by the name of E.A. Elam. And we are studying the Sunday school lessons that he wrote for the Sundays of 1923. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson he wrote for the Sunday of July 29th, 1923, about Matthew the publican. And so you want to get your Bibles now and open it up to the page where you have Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read Jesus' reply to those who were upset with him for eating with publicans and sinners. Now, we'll be there in just a moment. While you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff. Now, if you have your text open, I'll read again this portion of this text, Matthew chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse 10, where it says, "It came to pass, as he," now this is talking about Jesus, "as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and the disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with the publicans and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, They that are whole hath no need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye, and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy, and not sacrifice. For I came not to call righteous, but sinners unto repentance." You know, you could almost read that. I came not to call the self-righteous. Those self-righteous think they need no repentance. But sinners know they have that need, and they're the ones that come to Jesus. Let's see what E.A. Elam said about Jesus' reply. Elam wrote, "Jesus heard this either through his disciples who went with him with it, not able perhaps to reply to it themselves, or he overheard the scribes and Pharisees when they asked the question. He said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." We read this also in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, and in Luke chapter 5 and verse 31. "The physically well man does not need the physician. The spiritually whole, the righteous, do not need to repent." Granting that these scribes and Pharisees are all they claimed for themselves, for they claimed for themselves to be spiritually whole, strong, and healthy morally, if that was so, then they didn't need the physician. But from their own standpoint, these poor publicans and sinners were in great need of relief and repentance. Jesus is the great physician of the soul. He went to the sin-sick, to those who felt their need of his healing. These self-righteous Pharisees did not realize their own sinful condition, and hence felt no need of Christ. There is much more hope for the sinners, however deep in the sin they may be, who realize their unworthiness of Jesus and their lost condition without him, than for the self-righteous. One must be humble and meek and of a broken heart and a contrite spirit to be saved. Psalm 34 and verse 18. And Matthew gives another reply still to this taunt. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Teachings like that were found in their old prophets. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. And in Micah chapter 6 verses 6 through 8. The sacrifices which God required when offered in submission to Him were always pleasing to Him. But even these sacrifices without mercy to men were not enough and were not acceptable. Any sacrifice which God does not require was not acceptable. We read in Matthew chapter 15, 22 and 23 what Samuel said to King Saul. Samuel said, "Has Jehovah a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry." This was a direct condemnation of these self-righteous, unmerciful Pharisees. That is, Jesus' reply to them was, we need to study this lesson more ourselves. There is much need of mercy yet. Are you merciful? The more we see of human weakness, frailty, and imperfection, the more we realize the great need of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. And in James 2 and verse 13, James wrote, "For judgment is without mercy to him that showeth no mercy." We should go to sinners in tenderness, love, and in the Spirit of Christ, and not in the spirit of I am holier than thou. This same accusation is brought against Jesus in Luke chapter 15, and he answered it in the parables of the lost sheep, the lost piece of money, and the prodigal son. It's one of those exceedingly beautiful chapters that we find in the New Testament, and it is my privilege to read that to you now. You may want to turn and follow in your Bibles. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Matthew chapter 15 and verse 2. "And he spake unto them this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he found it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that even so, there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. "Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Even so I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And he said, "A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. For while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I never transgressed a commandment of thine. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killest for him a fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. What a beautiful way to end this study about Matthew the publican, that publican that forsook all and followed Christ and made us that great example of what we ought to do when we hear the call of Christ, and that is to forsake all and followed him. And Jesus calls us by his gospel. If you are listening now to this radio program, you are hearing that call, and you need to forsake all and follow Christ as well. Don't let anything of this earth keep you out of heaven. That concludes the Sunday school lesson, except for this quote from Shakespeare right at the end of the lesson. And the author put this in for our enjoyment and edification. Shakespeare once wrote, How would it be if he which is the top of judgment should but judge you as you are? Oh, think on that and have mercy. And mercy then will breathe within your lips like man made new. I turn the page in this little Sunday school book, and I see that the next Sunday was the Sunday of August the 5th, 1923. And in studying the great men and women of the New Testament, we come to the study of Mary Magdalene. There's a golden text for this lesson. It is, Our soul hath waited upon Jehovah. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 33 and verse 20. We might wonder why she's called Mary Magdalene. Well, that's to distinguish her from the many other Marys that we read about in the New Testament. And Magdalene means that she was a citizen of the city that in the King James Version is called Magdala, but in the American Standard Version is called Magadan. It was a town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. You may want to get your Bible and mark Luke chapter 8, because we're going to begin this study of Mary Magdalene both in Luke chapter 8, John 19, and John 20.